So we promised it. We've teased it. People have wanted us to do this for our season four finale.
Welcome to Nice Ashes. Join hosts Mike and Nate for cigars and culture. Let's go beyond the smoke.
What are we smoking, Mike?
We are smoking the Hoya Red. This is exciting, gentlemen.
The Hoya Black was so well regarded.
I found this cigar at a random cigar shop somewhere in Minnesota.
This cap it's got potential.
It's got potential. We're excited. We have a special pour for the whiskey section. Nate is going to introduce it.
But what are we doing here, Mike? The fuck are we doing here?
What do you mean? We're going out of order? You're talking about out of order?
No. Why are we smoking a Hoya Red? Why are we drinking what we're drinking? And why are we talking about what we're talking about? What is this? What are we doing here?
End of season.
This is the our cap. Season four finale.
Season four finale.
When our finales sometimes get a little unhinged.
Well, we're as unhinged as I've ever felt.
Fine.
We are there.
Honest to God, this is our fourth episode we've recorded today. We started at, 11 o'clock this morning?
Something like that.
And now it's past midnight. So this is unhinged hours of Nice Ashes.
The third podcast host is out there live and well. I'm not sure if you can hear her.
You may or may not be able to hear
her. The wolves, they hear her. I don't think it's wolf time. It's actually more like other dog time. But
sure.
She's out there. She's lively. She's letting us know.
She's keeping us safe here at Nice Ashes Studio North. Safe.
She's circling.
Because we're still live. We're still in person. We are drinking the Glenlivet 12 years of age. So that means it's old enough for a Republican to fuck.
That is correct. And also Democrats. I actually saved this bottle. I bought this bottle for this episode.
Okay.
Because we always have special bottles for our finales.
Yeah.
So this is Glenlivet 12. Came in a box.
A very fancy box. I'm going to take my first sip of this before we even light up the cigar. But here's to the season finale.
That is some good whiskey.
And some very, very fine whiskey. This is things that Walden wished he could write about.
Yeah. I cannot imagine a better whiskey.
Not Walden. Walden Pond.
Walden Pond, but Henry Thoreau, and
The Sugar Daddy. Emerson.
Emerson. The Sugar Daddy, Emerson. Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. You got me right on point. No, this is whiskey worthy of Walden Pond. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
We're hoping to have a nice conversation, and
I hate
to tell you, but River is lively, so
that's fine.
If you hear some skipping, maybe River is a little more excited about the local wildlife than we expect.
I think the important thing is we're not electrocuting her during our show.
No, she's doing whatever she wants to do.
She's doing dog things.
And we're dealing with her reactions. There is no caller of any kind involved other than just making sure she stays on the property.
Uh-huh.
She's out there right now. I'm not sure if you can hear her, but she is. Oh, she's going after those motherfuckers.
Yeah. She's
my wife is texting me because she's so upset. But River will calm down.
What does one do?
Yeah, she wants to get after him. She wants to get after him.
Let's light up this Hoya Red and see what this is all about. The cap seemed to be intriguing. Spicy. Spicy indeed. I don't want to make a prediction, but I think this is going to be a good stick. I think it's going to be a pretty good cigar, Mike.
I mean, I'm going to make a prediction. It's a Hoya Red. I expect a good stick. If it's not a good stick, I'm going to have a problem.
Sure.
I'm already going to preface you. Guys, if it's a bad stick, Mike's going to have a problem.
Mike's
going to have a problem.
Nate will be okay because he's sipping the old Glenlivet 12. Right. So
yeah. Mikey boy is thinking about his dog out there fighting the elements, and we're trying to manage without magically having a shock collar, Hassan. Weirdly, you can have a large herd animal dog who does what it wants healthily without any damage to it, without any hurt to the show, without shocking it, and then it can exist in the show with seamlessly you're gonna hear the dog go in and out of the house multiple times.
Weirdly we didn't mic the dog, so
we are not miking the dog this episode.
Too much of it.
Usually
not a big deal.
Every episode we mic the dog. This episode we're not miking the dog. Just to show Hassan how loud having a herding dog can be.
Well, you get the right microphone, it doesn't matter.
Something like that. I mean, she's been let out multiple times the last couple episodes without editing because she's not making noise.
Yes.
This particular episode, she has been making noise.
Which is fine.
Which we're gonna get in the... Hopefully we get her in the show. We want her to make noise.
We've had Mike's dogs in the show in the past. It's not a big deal for our show. We're doing this to have fun, not to be bitches to dogs.
No, we're being bitches to Hassan Piker because he's a piece of shit.
Well, he is a bitch.
He's a bitch. You're getting a herd dog, a herd animal, and then making it do unnatural shit. That's not right.
You know who else is a bitch, Mike?
Who else is a bitch, Nate?
Osama bin Laden.
I heard that he attacked the two towers.
Well, you know, Mike Obama finally went and killed his ass.
Well, Mike Obama had some strong arms.
Or something. So we promised it, we've teased it, people have wanted us to do this, and for our season 4 finale, we're going to hit 200 episodes next season. It's almost inconceivable. Not really, because I do know what that word means, but it's wild, it's crazy. But people have wanted us to kind of tackle the 9/11, September 11th, 2001, and the conspiracies surrounding it. And God damn it if we're not going to do it right now.
Right now.
And I've got the official 9/11 revised, official final draft 37, whatever the fuck, commission report.
There we go. And so, Nate, this is a question I wanted to ask you.
All right.
Since we started the 9/11.
Yeah.
So I remember detailed exactly my 9/11 situation. I can give you details, and we're going to give details.
We're going to give exact details. It's going to be details.
Who was I? Where was I? What was I?
Yep.
When the plane hit. So, Nate, I have very detailed, specific memories.
Likewise.
Where were you? What were you? Who were you? When 9/11 happened.
Yep. I was a sophomore in high school. This was my second year in a new town. We had the, I don't know what you call him. He wasn't fully a full true high school stereotype, but he kind of also was. And it was in between classes, and he was laughing and talking about some idiot pilot hit a building in New York. And now I'm from a small town in Wisconsin. And we had 89 people in my graduating class. We didn't know shit about New York buildings. This is 2001. He said some idiot in a plane hit a building in New York. And I went to, this was social studies, I believe is what they called it. And we went in and sat down. And we didn't know at that time, but the way he addressed the class, he said, something is going on right now, and instead of our regular curriculum, we're going to watch the news. And he put on the news, and I don't know how much longer since he put the news on when we saw the second plane hit live on TV. And then we got sent home, and that was that. It was unlike anything anybody should see. I think. I mean, I wasn't there. We were in the middle of the country. It doesn't matter. But
yeah,
it was traumatizing. A very powerful event.
Yeah.
As a child, and to have an adult tell you that something is happening in the world right now that's more important than your schooling. I don't know. I mean, it's intense stuff. Where were you, Mike?
So when 9/11 happened, I saw the second plane hit. The first plane... When the TV was turned on. I don't know that
anyone saw the first plane hit.
When the TV was turned on, the first plane had hit. The second plane hit, and I was sitting in eighth grade geography class. I was sitting next to Katrina. Katrina was to my left.
Okay.
I don't remember who was to my right, but to my left, Katrina was there. And she was kind of my anchor for the year.
Sure.
I went to a special school. I did not go to general populous education school.
Yeah.
I went to a different kind of school. It was not run by the public department.
Sure.
So Katrina was kind of like my leech that was associated with me. And she was assigned to me to learn all of her school tasks.
Yeah.
So Katrina and I did every school class together.
Sure.
I was the smart kid and she was the dumb kid. And my job was to teach her how to do school. And we happened to be in geography class.
Yeah.
What the hell do they call that even more? I can't remember the exact term, but they had a term for it back in the day.
Yeah.
Where they put smart kids with dumb kids.
Sure.
And the smart kid took care of the dumb kid, and I taught the dumb kid how to do school.
Yep.
So we saw the second tower hit. I was in denial.
Yep.
I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a funny thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a stoogey thing.
Yeah.
And then they told us it was real. I was pulled aside and brought to the principal's office, and I waited there until about 10 in the morning, and my father called me.
Yeah.
And my father said, "Hey, Mike, I'm alive, I'm safe, I'm not dead," because they just hit the Pentagon, and where they hit the Pentagon was where my office was.
Sure.
So my father had an office in the Pentagon. He had an office in the Pentagon,
sure.
But at that time, his office was, in fact, in the Pentagon, and he was, in fact, in Washington, D.C. He happened to be at his office in Virginia.
Sure.
Because they hit it early enough in the morning where my father wasn't at his office at the Pentagon. He was a lifetime military member.
Yeah.
Talked about it before on the show.
Yeah, we did.
He's a lifetime DOD, just like I'm a lifetime state employee. And we use state loosely here in the more general sense.
Sure.
My father was a lifetime state employee. I am also a lifetime state. My father's father was lifetime state. We are lifetime government employees.
Yeah.
So these sort of things are part of the programming. I was not upset emotionally at the time.
At the time.
Which I should probably have been, which I was not. Which, going back and looking at it, my father had an office at the Pentagon.
Yeah.
That just exploded, and it didn't bother me at all.
Well,
not at all. Didn't faze me at all. Not even a little bit.
We were kids, Mike. We were kids.
Didn't faze me at all.
We were kids. And I've never seen my dad's office, and he worked for the state of Minnesota. He worked in the prison system. And I've never seen his office. I've never gone to visit him at work. I mean, that makes sense. It's a prison.
I've seen my dad's office in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
I've also seen my dad's office in Washington, D.C.
Sure.
As an adult.
Yeah.
He has an office. Had.
Yeah.
When he was a government official, he had an office there.
Yeah.
So he maintained an office. His personal office was destroyed during the September 11th attack.
Yeah.
But he survived.
Yes.
So he contacted me at school. I was in the office. I never left the office that day.
Yeah.
Because my father was a government employee.
Yeah.
He knew he was a government employee. And he called me from Washington, D.C. at the school.
Yes.
To tell me that he was unharmed. So I didn't get to see a lot of the footage because I was in the office waiting for my father's phone call because his office was in the Pentagon.
Yes.
And I remember that day.
Yeah.
To this day.
I remember that day.
I remember that day to this day.
Yeah.
And I can tell you what I don't like is Islamic extremists. That's what I can tell you I don't like.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I can tell you don't like that.
I don't like that either.
Yeah.
I think
I can tell you that.
And Mike and I both teared up talking about where we were on this day in our lives. And it was a very traumatic day. And I can imagine it's similar to Pearl Harbor or other events of national note.
To some people. And I can tell you that the war in Afghanistan for me is that because I know guys that I went to college with who, like myself, our dreams were to become college professors.
Yeah.
We wanted to become dreamers of the future.
Yeah.
And that dream was dashed. Every single one of us who wanted to be college professors, every one of us had our dreams dashed because guess what wasn't going to happen, boys, in 05, in 06? A new generation of college professors.
Yeah.
We weren't doing that anymore.
Nope.
We were getting, what do they call them? Adjuncts. Your kids now, when they learn history and sociology and political science, they learn it from adjunct professors.
Yeah.
They don't learn it from full-time professors. Full-time professors are a thing of the past. That's a dream that we had when we were kids.
Yeah.
And that's what I went to school for. I wanted to go to school to be an art history, maybe American history, maybe a little combination between art history and ancient history professor at a teaching college. And we could teach a little class about antiquity art that relates to American politics in some abstract way, and maybe write a book or two. That's what I wanted to do with my life. And that was dashed on the rocks. We developed from that failed venture, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm making way more money than that now. These things were possible before 9/11.
Yeah.
You could be a dreamer and be an art history professor and live in beautiful in a beautiful world.
Yep.
And after 9/11, we had to have this sort of hard reality. And maybe I was a little more personally touched because I did have to go to the office because my father did have an office at the Pentagon. And he did survive somehow. And yeah. It's not even somehow. He didn't show up on time.
Yeah.
Like, the guys who showed up at 7 in the morning, those guys died.
Yeah.
The guys like my dad who were there for a meeting.
Yeah.
My dad was there for a fucking meeting. He had an office at the Pentagon. His office isn't a full-time office.
Yeah.
My dad lives in Minnesota. He worked for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Right here. My Nate knows what my dad used to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Many of the guys who are listening. But his main job was working for the state of Minnesota. He was an advocate for us. He had an office in the Pentagon, and he wasn't there that day. Because he had no reason to be there. My dad had no reason to ever really be in the Pentagon.
No, yeah.
But his office was bombed. If he would have been there, which he should have been, if he wasn't a lazy fuck... He would have been. He would have died.
Yeah.
My dad happened to be at his hotel room that day.
Yeah.
Instead of at the office at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
Which is what he should have been if he was a good little boy.
Yeah.
Happily, he was 50 years into his career. Well, 99. 30 years into his career.
Sure.
30 of a 60 year or whatever. He joined at 17. So by 72 to 99. So what is that? Like 27, 28 years?
Something like that.
28 years in, guess what he wasn't doing? Showing up to the office right in the morning, boys. He wasn't showing up to the office right in the way in the morning, any boys. Because he was 28 years in.
Yeah.
And you know why he lived? Because he didn't show up to the office anymore. He's 28 years in. When you're 28 years in, guess who doesn't show up to the morning, any boys? The guy who's 28 years in. The junior guys. The junior guys, they show up. 28 years in, the junior guys show up. You don't show up.
Yeah.
You show up at noon because you're being kind to the junior boys. It's not because he was working. I know he was working. When he called me from his hotel room, he was working. But he doesn't show up to the office to give grace. He's giving grace to his underlings.
Yeah.
Because the young boys, they show up at 6. The old man, he shows up at 11.
Yeah.
Because he's 27 years in. That's where he's at.
Yep.
That's why my dad lived. He was old enough in the system to be able to give grace to the young boys. And he is working hard too. Everybody's working hard in the system.
Everybody works
hard. I'm part of that system. I'm part of the system. I start work. I woke up at 6:30 this morning. On my day off.
Yep.
By 7, I was running.
Yep.
By 10, Nate was in the house.
Yep.
And I told him, even at 6 in the morning, you're coming to my house now.
Yep.
He could have been here at 6 in the morning. We would have been running. He gave grace to everybody else. That's why my dad lived. Because he was hardworking early in the morning, giving grace to his employees.
Yep.
His employees died.
Yeah.
The guys working for him in D.C. died. Because they were working at 6 in the morning. And these boys hit it at, 9? My dad wasn't there at 9 Central, being 10 DC time. My dad didn't show up until noon. That was his thing. He doesn't show up till noon.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's from the Midwest. So you know what he has done by noon? Everything he's going to do by the day.
Yep.
So all these boys working there that don't know him, they got all their shit done. He's going to hit them at noon. He's going to fuck them. They're going to hit it again, right? And they're going to work all night.
Yep.
So by his grace, he wasn't there.
Yep.
That's why he didn't die. So my dad should have been dead. My dad's office was destroyed by those fucking terrorists, scum. You know who I'm against? The Mohammeds. You know who I'm against? All the terrorists.
Yep.
You're never going to get anybody less sympathetic to terrorism than me. My father should have been dead.
Yep.
I got the call. I was like all that 9/11 shit you got. Guess what I got? In an office.
Because
my dad was, his office was destroyed.
Yep.
Not good boys. Not good boys.
Not good.
So I'm against it. You know who will get, you know who's more against it than anybody else? Me.
Yep.
Continue, Nate. Because we're going to go... We're going to go hard.
We had to explain where we were and how it affected us and how personal it is and was.
I'm against it.
And now we're going to go through the conspiracy theories behind it. And regardless of what you believe, and I've been reading the 9/11 Commission Report, the final authorized edition, and it's very interesting, but we're going to go through the conspiracy theories, and regardless of whether or not it was truly a full-blown terrorist attack by Al-Qaeda, Whether it was an inside job, whether it was a pre-planned demolition, whatever any of these conspiracy theories say, the fact remains that a lot of Americans died.
It wasn't a good day.
It was not a good day. It was not a good day for anybody. The fact remains, whatever you end up believing at the end of the day, whether it's the official story, whether it's one of these conspiracy theories we're going to talk about, a lot of Americans died.
And a lot of Americans died. Another thing to consider is that I am 100% behind America. I'm an American. My family's American. I'm a real American. I'm a land-holding American person. I believe in America. I believe in America.
Yep.
I believe in you and I. I believe that we can make this country the best country ever. I think this is the best country ever. This is the best opportunity any person has ever had. We're America. This is the best. We're the best. Criticizing this country only makes it stronger, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In my opinion, criticizing this country makes it better. I'm a lifetime government employee.
The reason
I believe in the country.
The reason America is the best is not because we're number one in healthcare. It's not because we're number one in keeping kids safe at school. It's not because of any of those things. The reason America is the best is because up until this point, and hopefully in the foreseeable future and forever, is that we can openly criticize our government, and we can openly, entertain some of these conspiracy theories we're going to talk about.
That's right, boys. That's right, boys.
Some of 100%. This stuff. I mean, the European Union just passed a law where they can read all of your text messages.
Dude, those fuckers are trying to kill us. We got a 6 million man army right here in this Midwest of deer hunters.
Yeah, yeah. I sent
There's
you those
stats. There's a 6 million man army.
Yeah.
There's a 6 million man army listening to this show right now. We got to take it for us. Lakes and rivers, they belong to us. We were born here. They flew here. Yep. Everywhere across this nation.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
I know you're not joking.
It's got to be over. We can't accept anything less.
Yep.
Cannot accept anything less. It's got to be over. No weirdness. All the weirdness is in our souls.
The weirdness should be in the bedroom and everywhere else.
You goddamn
should be
right.
Normal.
Should be real weird.
Yeah. Fucking A.
Fucking A. As weird as you want it.
You know who's not weird in the bedroom? Fucking Islamic extremists.
Yeah, they cut clits.
They do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through the kind of timeline of events, and then we're going to get into the conspiracy theories. And I know we're half an hour into the episode, just about, but that's okay. This is a sensitive topic. It's important to let everyone know that we lived through it.
I don't know if I ever told anybody how serious that September 11th situation was to me.
Yeah.
My dad was in serious peril, for sure. I don't think I've 100%. Ever told anybody that.
I didn't know that until now.
My dad was in serious peril. You've met my dad. He's a serious guy.
Oh, he's a very serious guy. He remembered me, though.
My dad knows everybody.
I've met him several times.
My dad's
a
smart guy.
He's definitely remembered
scary
me
guy.
From the things.
He's a frightening man.
I don't think he's scary. But I'm also 6'6 and not intimidated by much.
Yeah, well, like, you got strength of character.
I'm not saying
my
that,
dad
I,
ain't
that
fucking
I
around.
Can't envision your dad being scary or intimidating. I'm saying I'm not the type of person that would lead him to be that way towards me.
Right.
So I'm going to walk you through the timeline of events. These are all Eastern times again. So 5:45 a.m., we have two of the hijackers, Mohammed Atta and Abdulaziz, pass through security at Portland International Jetport in Maine.
Surely these guys were either from Afghanistan or from Iraq. Were they possibly from those two countries, or were they from Saudi Arabia?
They were from Iowa.
Weird. Just how they got Iowa passports.
Man. No, and so I read this. I've been reading, and I haven't finished it. It's a giant tome, and some of it is very interesting, and some of it is, of course, now out of date in relation to how America currently functions. But it serves as a time capsule of things of the era, of the time. This report was compiled in between 2003 and 2004, and they interviewed everybody. They have timelines for all of these terrorist assholes, where they came from, what airports they trained to get their pilot license. Some trained in Norman, Oklahoma, where I went to college, and some trained in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So to say that this is not local and had no effect on Minnesotans is incorrect. This had far-reaching implications across the country.
It's almost like they were related to the Somali community that was here.
Well, none of these people were Somali, as far as
I know.
They
were not Somali. They were Saudi Arabia.
They were Islamic extremists, and Osama bin Laden had been setting up his network over several years, decades,
and all the individual members happen to be Saudi Arabian. Is that correct?
It may or may not be correct. I don't remember exactly
that they were all Saudi Arabian.
They had some last minute changes.
Oh, okay.
In who was
from the
being
Mujahideen,
a pilot,
who were trained by the United States.
They were all Mujahideen.
Yeah, shocking.
As far as I know.
Yeah, trained by the
but
United
the
States.
Point is, yeah. It doesn't really matter where it does matter.
Oh, it
but
doesn't
it
matter
doesn't
where
matter.
They're from, even though they attacked the United States and they were all trained by the United States, part of the Mujahideen. They were all part of
I just
want to
go through the timeline and then we can get into
the
conspiracy stuff,
Saudi Arabian intelligence
stuff,
agency
man.
Who happened to all be trained by the United States. It's not. It's all a matter of coincidence that everybody
I'm not saying
attacked
it's coincidence.
On September 11th was all trained directly by the United States. It was
I'm
all very
saying.
Strange. And they happened to attack direct government buildings on that particular day. Uh-huh. Very strange. Go ahead, Nate. I'm just trying to add. I'm not trying to detract. I'm trying to add context for everybody so they understand exactly what happened on September 11th when the Saudi Arabian gentlemen, who were all trained by the United States, all attacked the United States. I understand.
Well, regardless of where they came from, the point is they had to come here.
Yes, they had to come
get
here
their
on
pilot
visas from the
licenses.
United States. Yes, to get their pilot license.
To get trained.
By the United States. Yes,
and this report, yes. This government report, so I mean, you know, take that for what it's worth. It's a government report. It's a government investigation into how the government fucked up.
Yes. How about how these guys all got trained by the United States to attack the United States with the plane, who are all happened to be from the Saudi Arabia and the Mujahideen, who are all tracked by the United States. Yes. I'm trying to keep everybody abreast.
Mike, I understand that. We're preparing. I want to just go through the timeline of the things that have happened.
Yes, I'm trying to keep them abreast of the timeline.
You haven't talked about the timing of anything. I just want people to know that a bunch of people from extremist Islamic organizations,
all the Mujahideen, who are all from Saudi Arabia, who are all trained by the United States,
came here
all
to
paid by the
go
United States.
And get their
all
pilot
by the United States.
Licenses.
All trained by the United States, 100%.
That's fine,
all
Mike.
Of it. Yes.
It's fine. It's going to be a very long episode if you don't just let me
I'm
do
trying
the timeline.
I'm trying
thing.
To explain. I'm trying to explain.
You've explained. And now it's time to go through the timeline.
Okay.
They all came here. They had a lot of personnel changes. They all had, it was really weird to read because they have like ATM withdrawals. They have like
a lot of funding,
phone call conversations,
a lot of funding.
They spent time with girlfriends, with wives,
almost like they're part of the CIA. Yeah, a lot of funding.
Look, man, I'm just saying these people are doing exactly what the Japanese did in World War II. They're basically doing kamikaze pilot bullshit.
Yes.
And these people are living
in the States under our dollars. Yeah. Mujahideen.
Okay. I mean, if that's all you want to talk about, then we can be done with the episode.
I'm sorry.
And it's thanks for listening.
So sorry.
I'm trying to let people know that the report, even though it's produced by the United States government, it's a bipartisan committee that wrote this report. I'm trying to get through the timeline. These people, they're terrorists and they're terrible people.
Yes.
But it's interesting to me when they're saying that their final few days before they go and commit suicide and homicide and terrorist acts are basically doing what any other person would do on a regular day. Like it did not faze them. These people are not sane people. They were talking to their girlfriends. They were making withdrawals to go buy cigarettes. They were whatever they were doing, right? Like whatever it was, I don't know if it was cigarettes. I don't know if they can smoke. Whatever the fuck, they're getting halal food. Whatever the fuck it is, it doesn't matter.
It's like MK.
They're trash
MK
people.
MK Ultra mind control.
They're trash people.
Yeah, these
but
guys are doing their normal shit.
They're doing this, you know, and they talked a lot about the Osama bin Laden fatwas.
Yes, we talked a lot about it on the show. Osama bin Laden talked a lot about the fatwa.
Yeah, but these people are people that were, you know, 100% fully invested in, I guess, the mission of cutting the head off of the snake, and they felt, everyone felt the head of the snake was the United States of America. So, 5:55 a.m., two hijackers pass through security at Portland International Jetport. Between 6 and 7 a.m., other hijackers pass through airport security in Boston, Newark, and Washington Dulles. And 7:35 a.m., President George W. Bush departs the White House for Emma E. Booker Elementary School in Sarasota, Florida, where he's going to read books to children in the elementary school. And it's very interesting because the I don't know, the FAA system or protocols in place at this time. All of the protocols in place for hijacking of planes. And hijacking of planes is a very, very common thing where they would hijack the plane, land it somewhere, and get a ransom. And there really wasn't a killing of hostages.
We talked about hijacking.
We did.
We had DB Cooper expert.
Yep.
What was his name? We can't remember the DB Cooper expert's name, but gentlemen, we had a DB Cooper expert on the show earlier this year. Insert name here. Ryan.
Why would you bring it up if you don't know it?
Well, Nate, you're going to insert it right now. Insert name right now.
I can't do that. That's not how this works.
Can. Yeah, you can.
I only do live shit.
We've fucking been building up this episode for a long time because we've been, this is a scam.
I didn't know you were going to hijack it, ha ha ha, with all the Saudi Arabia bullshit, man. Like, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying, like, you can say it once, then we can get into the conspiracy theories. And we're 45 minutes into this episode.
I'm sorry.
And we're fucking around.
And I'm not even, you're not wrong.
You know what I mean?
I hijacked the show with Saudi Arabia.
The point is, so George W. Bush, president at the time, going down to this elementary school. He's going to read stories to kids, right? Very PR kind of thing. Whatever the fuck. Doesn't matter. The point is that the way the FAA was set up and the way everything was set up is they were expecting planes, not as missiles, not as bombs, right? They were expecting external threats. So when we talk about scrambling fighter jets, part of the thing is the system was not set up to deal with an internal threat turning planes into projectiles. That was beyond comprehension of anybody in the United States at the time.
Which is a lie. Which is a total lie.
Well, we're going to get into the conspiracy stuff later.
Total lie. Every game theory is explored.
Sure.
Go ahead. Nate, I'm not trying to derail you.
I know you're not trying to derail me.
I'm trying to give
a timeline and overview of things that happened for those of us, not us, but for those listeners that might not have been alive or of a conscience.
A lot of us weren't consciously thinking about it at the time, eh? That's
I know,
for sure.
I know.
It's a mass psychosis event.
You and I were old enough to understand what was happening, but potentially not the full implications.
No, implications didn't hit us until later. It was a mass psychosis event. They hit us with it, for sure.
It was a thing. So basically what happened was we have American Airlines Flight 11, United Airlines Flight 175. We have American Airlines 77 and United Airlines 93. And the thing was that the outlier of these four flights was United Airlines 93. They took off 45 minutes late. The hijackers did not care. They pushed everyone to the back of the plane, and they didn't care that they were using the in-flight phones to call home. What the hijackers didn't realize with United 93 was that at that time, everybody else in America was aware of the first plane hit. It had already happened. By the time United 93 took off, the first plane hit had either already happened or was minutes away from happening. So by the time they were airborne and had access to their phones, by phones, I mean the onboard phones, their cell phones were a thing,
right,
but they were not allowed in flight. They were not really that advanced to be able to even connect to a tower at that time, but not at the time in the air. Not to the extent where they do now.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like people were tweeting people saying, oh my God, look what happened.
Yeah.
It was they made a collect call or a prepaid call to their family members from the plane and found out that the other plane, potentially also the Pentagon plane, had hit, potentially even the second tower had been hit, and United 93 decided to fight the hijackers. And the only reason United 93 decided to fight the hijackers was because the hijackers didn't give a shit. They were calling their family members on the ground because they felt that their mission was already cemented. It was already a win wherever they were going to hit. And they didn't realize, because they took off late, that the people in the back of the plane were going to know about the other attacks and potentially try and thwart that, because they decided as a plane, as passengers, that they would rather just take the plane down,
run it into the ground,
than kill hundreds of thousands of Americans in the process. So I only watched it once. I saw it in theaters, and holy fuck, that was a mistake. But the United 93 movie, it's a phenomenal movie. I only watched it once. I bought it on Blu-ray because it's an important movie, but I don't know if I could ever watch it again.
Never watched it. I would love to watch it at my home theater.
It's a one-time.
I would like to set my home theater up downstairs.
Yeah.
And get that reverb set up the way I want it.
Sure.
And watch it as a
thought experiment. It's a one-time watch.
Similar to Schindler's List.
Yeah.
The first time I watched it with the sound and like the lights coming in, you really only need to watch Schindler's List one time to really know.
It's
bad things happened. You don't need to think a whole
lot. It's terrible. Terrible things have happened.
Shit, really. Like evil things happen in the world. Stalin, hero, villain, both things.
Uh-huh.
A million deaths are a statistic. A single death is a tragedy. Kind of numbers.
Kind of. United 93 movie, it's powerful. Let's do a cigar check. I've never watched it.
I would like to watch it now, but in a theater recreation, which I'd like to do it downstairs.
Yep.
You've seen my downstairs. I'm going to set it up. You see how I set it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to create that environment, a sound environment.
We've talked about Minnesota nice and Upper Midwest nice and not showing emotion. And we saw it. I went and saw United 93 in theaters, and it was
powerful.
It was not a dry eye in the house. Okay. And it was.
Maybe I should see it at the Empire if they do it. Empire or something.
I don't know that they would ever show it ever again.
Riverview would do it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's definitely a movie to watch one time.
Yeah. Never again.
I have very powerful feelings.
I'm a never again kind of guy.
It's a never again kind of movie. Makes me
anti-Israel. Never again
kind of movie. Let's do a cigar check, and then I'm going to kind of skip the full-on timeline.
It's good. The cigar is good.
Yeah.
Go for it. Cigar is great. 100%.
Okay. So basically, the whole point of what I've read so far in the book is that they turned off the transponders. They tried to communicate to the rest of the cabin, the rest of the plane, but they accidentally broadcast to the towers.
Yeah.
And so they said, we have bombs, stay calm. There's no evidence that any of the passengers ever heard those messages. It was only the towers that heard those messages. They would turn off transponders, and then they were trying to raise the planes. They were trying to go through the protocol they had at the time, which is have other planes look for that plane to see if it was in distress. They really weren't expecting multiple planes being hijacked at the same time to be used as weapons at one time.
Not civilians. The civilians weren't expecting.
Even these FAA operators and the tower operators, they weren't trained on that.
No,
they weren't briefed
on
that.
They weren't trained on
that.
There might have been
people in the government that had been considering such a possibility, but the attack happens. And
it wasn't part of the SOP.
They hit the towers, exactly. And they hit the towers, and they scrambled jets, and the fighter jets went and started flying over the ocean towards Europe because they thought it was an external threat. Nobody told them what the threat was. Nobody really knew what the threat was.
I remember at the time they thought that maybe we would have an external exchange with Europe via missile launch from Maryland because, of course, people are so fucking dumb. They don't really understand the majority of our nuclear force is in the Midwest.
Yeah.
The nuclear force of the United States is in the Midwest.
Yeah.
We have data set external to that, which we'll talk about on the show later. But yes. They thought that maybe there would be real nuclear exchange from Washington. For some reason, they thought that Washington had nuclear weapons. That's how dumb people were at the time. In 01.
Yeah.
They were so dumb, they thought that we had nuclear weapons in Washington, D.C., which is not how it works.
It's not really how it works because you have, fucking critical flight altitude and...
We have a whole nuclear exchange system.
Well, we do. We do. And the reason why is,
weird terrorist attack.
No, it's
we don't do that.
You put them in unpopulated places because you're mitigating the liability of the danger. You need a certain flight altitude to hit certain places, strategic targets.
For those who are listening concerned about nuclear attack, I have an inside source again through my life.
Yes.
The biggest weakness of our nuclear defense system are the people who have to push the buttons.
Yeah.
Because they want their children to live.
Yep.
So the biggest protection we have against a nuclear annihilation with the Soviets, with the evil Soviets.
With anyone.
And the guy who told me this was anti-Soviet, 100%. But he was pro-Russian.
Yeah.
Anti-Soviet, pro-Russian.
Documented.
Anti-Soviet, pro-Russian.
There's a documented Soviet hero, let's call it what it is, who got a radar blip that looked like America in the height of the Cold War had launched a nuclear weapon towards Russia. And instead of doing the countermeasures that he was trained to do, said this must be incorrect.
He saved the world.
And did not launch a counterattack. And it was not an attack by the United States. It was a radar blip. It was a system error. And cooler heads saved modern life.
And those cooler heads are hicks in the sticks.
Yeah.
Guys living their lives.
Yeah.
Trying to bang pussy. And
drink vodka.
They drink vodka.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Yeah.
On both sides.
On any side. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Well, the North Dakota side,
uh-huh.
I know those guys.
Yeah.
And by knowing the North Dakota guys, yep. You know who I know?
The Russian
the
Soviet guys side. That are I
know
the same,
those guys. I know those
it's
guys.
It's similar Latland dudes,
they're the fucking
right?
same
like,
dudes,
it's
bro.
It's the same.
Like, similar there's a guy just like me in yeah. Russia. There's a guy just like me in Russia. Yeah.
Mikhail.
If you, yeah, Mikhail. If you understand that, if you understand that basic fact. There's a guy just like me.
Yep.
Just like
just
you.
Like you. Like the you. Listener. Yeah.
Listener.
Yeah.
There's a guy just like you out there.
Yeah.
In Russia. Guess what we're not doing? Killing each other. Guess
hopefully,
we're not doing?
Yeah.
Cutting clitorises. We don't care.
That is true.
Do you care?
It's
no.
too cold. You need all the skin
no.
down there you can have.
No. You know what I want? My wife to be strong. I want
yeah.
her to be strong, independent woman.
Yes. The problem is we haven't talked about any of the conspiracy theories yet. And I have the conspiracy theories listed out. And I have the official refutation from the 9/11 Commission report. So, Mike is the conspiracy theory guy. I am the official government stooge.
Yeah. We're going to get into the 9/11 because we know it's a lie. We know it's a lie.
I was going to go through the whole timeline of events, but
my personal friend died
in 9/11.
Is part of the 9/11 conspiracy. Anybody who died in the Gulf War, the whole Gulf War is a conspiracy based on 9/11, guys. Why would we fight the Gulf War if not for 9/11?
Why would we fight anything at the end of the day?
I don't know why we fight anything. Honestly, we're the superpower. Why are we fighting anything? We should be done.
We should be done.
We should be maybe hanging out at home.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Honestly, like,
why not
I can handle hanging out at home.
Healthcare and college tuition costs. Like, those are things we should be focusing on.
Dude, healthcare, college tuition, maybe homeless population.
Yeah. All good goals.
We have good goals. Man. We have good goals. You know what? We talked last episode about how Minnesota is recreating the road system.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Maybe countrywide where you live, if they're not doing that, maybe they should be doing that instead of spending money on other things. Because I know my government is. But I also know that that's my state taxes going towards that. That's not my federal taxes.
Yeah.
That's my state tax.
So,
my state tax is a lot.
I have a question, Mike.
Yeah.
Did your federal taxes in 2001 pay for a controlled demolition of the Twin Towers?
Yes.
So the first conspiracy
theory
is that the towers were pre-wired with explosives. And the people believe it because the towers felt like controlled demolitions, observed collapse, looked symmetrical and rapid. So explosives must have been placed in advance. It looks suspicious because the collapse rate, pulverization, and reports of molten metal and energetic residue. Do you want to talk about this conspiracy theory before I give my refutation?
Nate, what I know is that planes flying into steel do not melt steel necessarily, and Building 7 magically fell down, and Building 7 had all the documents that
Dude,
the federal
Building
government
7
was
just
using
sucked,
to...
right?
Building 7
like,
is a problem.
Sucked.
Building 7 is a problem. I know that my friend Jordan, he says that it could melt with the heat. It could melt with the heat, but Building 7 happened to have all the documents for all the federal government documents that they were under... scrutiny for at the time. And it magically fell down.
So to clarify some of this stuff, the World Trade Center is a multi-building complex.
Multi-building complex. And only two got hit by planes.
They had the North Tower and the South Tower. Also Building 11, Building 7, whatever the fuck, right? Like, whatever. Building 7, right? But they were all commissioned by the Port Authority. The person who designed them, the architect who designed them, also designed a building in downtown Minneapolis and also designed Pruitt-Igoe in St. Louis.
I know, and apparently there was a passport that survived, but not steel. And also Building 7 Bell.
Yes, there is that. But the architect, World Trade Towers, destroyed. Pruitt-Igoe was condemned and destroyed by an implosion, controlled implosion. My grandfather was a firefighter, fire chief, and later a fire ground investigator. And he expressed to me that the planes and the jet fuel could, in fact, maybe not melt the steel, but with the other flammable objects in the building, could reach a temperature that would melt the steel.
He said even
without the other things, steel will expand with heat. And when you have a fire of that size over multiple floors, it would expand steel to the point that it would collapse, because steel is meant to be flexible. When you build a 110-story building, it needs to be flexible because of wind shear.
Technically, on paper, I have heard that it can collapse.
Yes. So it's not necessarily out of the realm of possibility. So the 9/11 Commission Technical Report states that the sequence of impacts, fires, and structural damage to the floors and columns says that it's completely plausible. The detailed engineering explanation comes from NIST and FEMA, and they concluded that the towers collapsed because of aircraft impact damage plus massive prolonged fires that weakened floor trusses and exterior columns, producing progressive collapse. And the NIST modeled the impact damage, loss of fireproofing, progressive structural failure, and found no evidence of controlled demolition charges. Again, this is a government agency investigating the government agency responsible for the government agency things.
I've also heard that those same things are true for Building 7, that the wind force, not wind force, but shear force from the destruction,
sure,
could cause upper level damage,
yep,
on Building 7 that would cause it to have massive structural failure, because Building 7 being so low,
yes,
without the exterior control, would have caused massive building failure.
Yeah.
There is a logistical reason, engineerly speaking, there is a reason for Building 7 to fall.
Yep.
There is a logical reason. That's our
next one. That's our next conspiracy. We're going to talk a little bit more about
Building
7
is a bigger problem than the main two, because the main two got hit. But
we're
going to
talk a little bit more about Building 7 in this next one. But again, these are things that, and like, all, like this is
almost
the best.
I know from engineers that I've talked to specifically about this issue, because I have been very interested in this.
Yes.
There are engineers who are very legitimate who have told me that Building 7 could collapse from the sheer force of Building 1 and 2 falling.
I want to tell you a little story real quick.
Tell me, please.
I went to college.
Yes, I did too.
End of story. No, I'm just kidding. Nice. I went to college for being an architect.
Did you really?
I did.
I went for art history and history, so that tells you what I know.
Well,
just like,
so I want to carry this out a little bit. I eventually switched to film and video. Got a major in film and video and a minor in architecture. I had enough architecture courses to get a minor in architecture.
Sure.
One of the first things I learned in architecture school was that everybody hates architecture. And they're all a bunch of like alcoholics drafting with pencils. Yeah. But the point is that they told a story of a building. This person, this architect, built a skyscraper. And let's just say, I don't remember exactly what building. I don't remember exactly where. I don't remember exact details. But the point of the matter is that where they built this building, there was, let's say, the prevailing westerlies, right? So the wind always came out of the west. So they designed this whole building on the premise that wind would only ever come from the west. And they built this building. The first time the wind came from the east, building fell right down. They didn't plan for that because they're fucking morons or something, right? Like, they just, this is when you're an architect, you're not just designing something to look pretty. It has to also
function.
It has to also withstand things. And I heard this a lot because in, I think, 93, there's a truck bomb below the World Trade Centers that did some damage, raised some awareness around the fire escape plan of the buildings. There are 110-story buildings, right? They evacuated people from the roofs in 93 with helicopters, which was never intended to happen. That was not ever part of the plan. That was never part of the design, anything like that.
Yes.
So the point is that it is entirely possible that the architect who built the two towers designed those to withstand certain wind forces, certain other forces, but never designed Building 7 to withstand the same forces because it was inconceivable at the time for both towers to collapse and create their own, you know, gravity or wind force or what have you. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but like I was going to say earlier is like 9/11 is almost the perfect conspiracy theory hotspot because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It came out of nowhere for a lot of Americans. Potentially government officials were aware, potentially not. But in the grand scheme of the American zeitgeist, it came out of nowhere. And it was very surprising and shocking and a lot of people don't understand how buildings stand or function. They don't understand that a building, like the Empire State Building, sways, 6 to 10 feet all the time. And it has to be flexible or else it would snap and collapse, right? You have to, there's some coefficient there of flexibility that buildings need at a certain height to not collapse just on the fact of being a tall building. So a lot of people don't understand that. And that's fine, but I feel that fuels a lot of these conspiracy theories because they don't quite understand the mechanics or the physics of a lot of this.
I don't understand the physics either. No reason for me to. Mm-hmm. That is not part of my trade.
That is very true.
I don't need to understand it
yes.
at all.
Well, I understand. So the next one is World Trade Center 7 was demolished. Collapsed late in the afternoon. No plane hit it. It had to have been a bit of controlled demolition. Do you want to say anything extra about Building 7?
No.
Okay.
We've already talked enough about it.
The commission, 9/11 commission report refutes it by saying that the Building 7's collapse required technical analysis and the detailed technical investigation was done by NIST. And they concluded that debris from the North Tower ignited fires in Building 7. And those fires burned uncontrolled for hours, sprinkler systems and outage issues. And thermal expansion and subsequent failure of key interior columns led to an internal collapse and progressive exterior collapse. NIST explicitly states it found no evidence of a blast-initiated or controlled demolition and explains the probable collapse sequence. So,
also, Building 7 happened to contain all of the IRS documents about our government and their corrupt shit previous to 1990.
Okay. Well, right, and that's...
It happens to be the government building that had all the government fucking bad shit about the post-Cold War government up until that time. I mean, it's just a coincidence, guys. It's a coincidence.
Well...
It's all the dirty programs.
I mean, that's...
All the dirty programs
for the point of years. What we're doing here is we're looking this at...
Happens.
What happened. We're looking at conspiracy theories.
Yeah, happens. To be.
But if you look at it,
it can logically happen.
And you look at Occam's razor, or the simplest yeah. explanation is most likely the truest.
It could be
that they took advantage of the situation possibly. And purged things that would
seems
be
likely that they knew what was going on.
Potentially. I know they have in this report, and this is you can get this for super. I think I paid $3 for this on eBay. This book, the report, the commission report, and
it's not hard to find.
It's online for free as a PDF.
It's not a secret.
They go through the events, what happened on the planes. They go through the terrorists, how they were recruited, how they spent their time before the hijackings. You know, I mean, it goes through all of this. It goes through why the fighter jets that were scrambled were 12 miles offshore. before they were told the target was Washington and they needed to patrol the air over Washington, D.C. The fighter jets were looking for, they weren't informed of what they were looking for. They said, we need you to scramble. They're coming for D.C. So their programming or their plans were to fly over the ocean to intercept any foreign objects, foreign fighters, foreign missiles, foreign planes coming towards Washington, D.C.
They're misdirected, but they've been directed.
They weren't necessarily misdirected. Their protocols did not include commercial airliners being used as missiles or bombs.
Which is what happened. Which they knew was happening.
They did not know at the time.
They did know at the time.
What this report made clear to me, if you believe the report, of course, right, was that one of the biggest misconceptions in the American population was there was plenty of time to counteract what these planes were doing. And some people went on record and went on public channels and said that there were 20, 30, 40 minutes, an hour of time that could have been used to prevent this.
And the only thing you need is a gap.
Potentially.
Game planning, the only thing you need is a gap.
You only need a gap. However, the way things were set up with the different, and, you know, the FAA and NORAD and whatever had regional control centers. And some of these flight paths, they all originated from the East Coast and they were all going to Los Angeles or somewhere in California. And by the time that they dropped off radar, changed their transponders, whatever the fuck, it was minutes between that instance where it would, with the protocol at the time, alert people to do things. It was minutes between that happening and the plane hitting.
True.
And you can scramble fighters, and I don't care if they're going Mach whatever, you're not going to intercept a plane that is 2 minutes from crashing into
a
building.
We're not attacking everyone. We're saying there was a gap.
Potentially
a gap.
And, you know, the interesting thing is this report walks through the gaps and it says that the FAA and NORAD or whatever the fuck, the agencies, were grossly inept at dealing with this sort of situation.
Which is interesting.
Because of the regional centers that needed to communicate. They weren't communicating. United
State
Airlines.
State government official planning.
And American Airlines. They had control at the time. And we talked about this with the D.B. Cooper. The airline had a basically blank check from the government up to, what, $200,000 or something to deal with hijackers.
They had limit.
They did not really have what if your plane's used as a weapon.
What if your plane is used as a weapon, as a tool, a part of a military industrial plan?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't really have that protocol, and these different these airlines had their own internal protocols. Plus, they had reporting protocols to the government agencies, and these things all take time. There's a plan for everything. Again, the way that this
Why did we attack Iraq?
Man, I'm just trying to tell you how things were at the time.
Why did we attack
according
Afghanistan?
To this thing?
No, Nate.
You know why we attacked?
I know them. We're talking.
We're not trying to avoid. We're on the third conspiracy theory.
We haven't even got through the third one. But I'm telling you, It's a conspiracy. I'm against it. I'm for you, brother.
Yeah.
And it's a conspiracy.
Okay. Can we get through the rest of the conspiracy theories?
I know we're trying to get through it. I'm sorry.
No. I'm trying to get through it. You're trying to go Mike on it.
Yeah. Okay.
So, which is fine. Okay. It's all good. I want to get through the conspiracies.
Yeah.
If you haven't read it, it sets up kind of the government agencies and the way. Like, have you ever tried calling the fucking government? I know you have, Mike.
It's a long road.
When you get someone, they're very helpful, but it is not instantaneous. It is a slow process.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing, but it's a slow process. So when all of this stuff is happening, this is of these agencies that they're investigating in this report is kind of out of the purview or out of the planned instances that these agencies have. There might be other people in the Pentagon, in the government, in whatever, that have war planned these things, have war gamed these things. But it's not these people at the agencies. These are like, you know, 8 to 5 people. They're not
involved right. in the plan.
So they don't understand. They don't know. They're following their guidelines protocol. For a hijacking. They're following protocol, which in this instance did more harm than good. So this government agency said, everyone fucking sucked dick. That day.
Yep.
Until
lots of dick.
Until the decision was made unilaterally to ground every single flight in the country. And they said that took fucking balls of steel to make that call, because that is a lot of revenue loss, right? But they made that call, and they said this was the only good thing that people did this day.
Respect.
Basically.
Respect.
So, you know, I mean, these are just people. I mean, these are people.
They're people making decisions.
Well, they're people best making they decisions.
Respect
best
to them.
They can.
Respect
so, to them. You know, these agencies are following protocol. Whether or not any of this stuff is true or not true, these conspiracy theories, these other people.
Oh, everybody else following protocol.
They're following respect protocol to them. And doing what they can do. They do what they do within their power.
They're doing they exactly what they how need they're to supposed do to. According to the rules. We know.
Yeah.
We respect
that's
them
the
for that.
That's the whole point.
That's the whole point. They yeah. did the thing they were supposed to do. Respect to them.
The next one here is there were no planes. It was a hologram, which is, I mean, this has got to be one of the dumbest things ever, because I've seen 2001 era CGI. So I all just, right. you know, right. then so the refutation is that there are radar flight paths and ATC transcripts, and they know where these planes were. They know that they hit these planes. They didn't go land these planes in a field somewhere and then they put them in Area 51. They know these planes hit. There's radar evidence to show that these planes hit.
Yes.
Okay. So this one's kind of bupkis. The number four is the Pentagon was a missile or small plane, and that 757 did not hit the Pentagon.
That's a lie. We know that's a lie.
Well, we know that's a lie, but this people is, died. We're talking about one of the conspiracy theories. So. Sure. They say that with radar and flight data for American Airlines Flight 77, eyewitness accounts that it hit. I know there was quite a bit of
damage.
Talk there's at the time. Damage. There was talk at the time, even like the day or the day after it happened, that they said, well, why are we finding like a jet engine over here when it should have incinerated upon the hit or whatnot? So there's been a little like the Pentagon one is maybe one of the outliers of the attacks. The next one is Flight 93 was shot down by U.S. military. And the interesting thing is the 9/11 Commission report talks pretty in depth about whether or not the fighter jets in the air had the authority to shoot down a commercial airline flight, right? So there were people that believed that the fighter jets had the authorization to shoot down American commercial airline flights. And there were those that said it was never explicitly communicated that the fighter jets could shoot down an American airline flight. So there was some confusion there. Some people in the FAA or wherever, whatever agency, believe they had the permission from Dick Cheney to shoot down.
Darth Cheney may have given them special permission.
Well, he did, but it was not. Was not communicated fully across.
Evil Lord.
To where I understand that, 100%. But I'm just saying that the pilots in the air were never given enough credible authorization for them
that.
To
no, I respect do that. That. I respect that.
The next one is that hijackers were alive after 9/11 and they lived. The commission report here, it traces the travel purchases, visa records, flights, and links to Al-Qaeda. They have names. They have names. They have mugshots of all of these terrorists. So basically, the commission report says there's no way that anyone lived.
I believe that.
I mean,
that.
Honestly,
I
you're
that.
Flying.
Nobody lived.
You're flying a
no.
757 into a building.
No.
The next one is insider trading, foreknowledge, whatever. You know, alleged spikes in activity around September 10th and 11th. It was an insider trading thing to make rich people richer. And
there's some of that, too.
There's some of that. The commission report investigated it, and they recommended monitoring suspicious trading. The
there's
report
a
and
lot
follow
of suspicious
up,
trading.
found no trading. Evidence that trading was linked to any foreknowledge.
But there's suspicious trading.
There's suspicious always trading. Suspicious trading. There's always trading. Someone who knows.
There's suspicious
and trading. Will not admit it.
There's suspicious trading. The biggest yep. problem is there's suspicious trading. Long term. Long term, my father dying does not matter. Long term, the real thing is...
None if Nancy Pelosi trading. Can get richer.
There's suspicious trading. Trading activity on the floor occurred yep. before 9/11.
Yep.
The dying people, irrelevant.
Yep.
There was suspicious stock trades
yep.
before.
Yes.
That is true. That is true,
yep.
brother.
The next one, true. I know, we got to get through this. The next one is that there's a stand down of NORAD military fighters. They were ordered not to intercept. The commission report says that there was confusion between FAA and NORAD, slow recognition of the unfolding multi-hijack scenario and coordination problems, not a deliberate order to stand down. Nobody that they found ordered anybody to stand down.
No,
they had several.
You wouldn't have to order them. You wouldn't have to.
They had several fighter squadrons in flight to try and protect the country. Some of them were over the ocean.
You don't have to order
right.
Yeah, you don't have to because they're all normal people. They're not going to kill each other.
They're all normal people if they don't have explicit...
If they don't have explicit
verified orders to shoot down Americans on an airliner, they will not do it.
Absolutely.
And from what I read in the report is none of the fighters were actually in position to shoot anybody down.
What I know from NORAD...
They were elsewhere.
They will not kill each other.
Yeah.
Like, the one thing we know
yeah.
is that nuclear bombs between us and the Russians ain't yeah. gonna happen.
Yeah.
Because the Russians and us, guess what we are? The same.
Go We're watch normal go people, watch
Project 55. Project 55, perfect example.
Yeah.
Guess what those guys are? Me.
Yep.
They're like Hicks from the Sticks.
Everybody's everybody, man.
Yeah, man. Everybody's everybody. You know who's the same guys? The Russians.
The next one is that there was thermite or nanothermite that was found in the dust. That it was, you know, again, some sort of controlled event. And the refutation is that they investigated the metals, residues, and high temperatures, and the NIST and subsequent peer reviews examine the dust metallurgy and failure modes, concluding that the observed iron microspheres and residues are consistent with high temperature post-collapse conditions and building materials.
Another way to say that is bullshit. Bullshit. That's mathematical bullshit.
Possibly.
Dude.
Look, come man, on now. I want to tell you, I'm going to tell you at the end what I believe.
A lot of coincidences.
I'm not doing it now.
A lot of coincidences.
I want to get through the conspiracy theories, okay. And then I'll tell you what I believe.
Okay.
Number 10, remote control or autopilot hijacking theories that the military took over the planes and carried out the final attacks. The refutation is that they traced the hijacker trainings, the cockpit behavior, flight controls, documents that the hijackers had some flight training and the manual control and basic maneuvers were feasible based on the training that they had. The commission presents cockpit voice recorder excerpts, passenger calls, and flight data indicating human control. So an autopilot thing looks different in the flight path than a human control flight path and that. Number 11 is Israel Mossad involvement or immigrant dancing Israelis stories, where Israel intelligence or agents had prior knowledge or were involved, alleging certain Israel native nationals were dancing on 9/11. And I remember hearing that, where people were dancing in the street in Israel after the attacks.
There were Israeli agents dancing.
Yes. The refutation is that the commission investigated foreign ties and evidence where it surfaced, and it focused on findings of Al-Qaeda's planning and finance networks. Independent law enforcement investigations address specific suspicious activity claims.
Israeli agents did dance on 9/11.
Yes.
And they were happy.
That does not mean that they were part of the plan. It just means they were happy.
That does not mean that there was a plan that involved a lot of people.
Yes.
That does mean there was a fucking plan, though.
That
does mean there was a fucking plan, though.
There was a plan. It was planned.
There was a fucking plan. It was a planned
event.
There was a fucking plan.
Whether you think it was just Osama or just Al-Qaeda or a bunch of other other people, the fact is there was a plane. You can't do a four-plane hit attack. One of the planes didn't actually hit the target. But you can't do a four-plane hit attack without a plan.
My own father did not die. My own father did not die. There is
a plan. I know. There was a plan.
I know there's not a plan that involves everybody. My dad wasn't involved with a plan.
Nope.
My dad was not involved with a plan.
I understand.
There's a goddamn plan. There's a fucking plan.
There's a plan. And I'm saying that
there's
just
a fucking
because
plan. It's above my dad's pay grade. Yes. I'm happy to say that.
But if we look, Mike.
He was an after fact. But it was a part of the plan.
Yep.
It's a plan.
It is a plan. I never said there was no plan. The what we're talking about was Israel or Mossad involved in the plan. And just because you have Israelis.
Are we
dancing,
so specific that we have to be that specific?
We don't have to be that specific. This
are
is one
we are
of
that specific.
This
we
is,
have to be that specific.
Mike, I'm going through all the conspiracy theories and the refutations.
Is Big Nose
Listen,
Kate a Jew?
We all know the answer to that, Mike. The point
is Big Nose Kate a Jew?
We know. We're
Midwesterners.
It's proven,
we don't think that way.
It's proven that Israelis.
Yeah. We're
dancing in the streets.
They're right fucking
no,
there.
No, listen. We know Israelis were dancing in the street. They were
you're
happy
fucking,
about the attacks.
You're dancing us closer to danger than I ever did, hey.
I just want you to listen. And we've talked about this several times. This is a very personal.
I might be a foil that you're fighting against.
No,
maybe.
I'm not fighting
maybe
against anybody. I'm just saying that.
Maybe a foil.
We have talked on the show several times about correlation does not equate causation.
No, but there's a cause.
And I understand
that. Correlating fact.
I'm telling you that people that hate America dancing in the street because America got attacked. Because
we're against
does
it.
Does not.
We're against it. We're for America now.
People.
We're for America now, hey.
We're always for America.
We're always for America. Us
people,
on the show, we're for America.
People who hate America dancing in the street because America got hurt does not mean they were looped into any sort of plan.
But we're for America.
Necessarily.
We're for America. 100% for America. We're 100% for America show.
Sure.
You're talking about anti-American shit right now.
I'm not talking about anti-American shit.
I'm just saying. We're not trying to get into any political situation.
Look, I'm telling you, all I'm saying is people that hate America dancing in the street because America got hurt does not mean they were involved in the planning
but
of the attacks.
But we're only for America. We're 100%
on America.
For America. You might even say we're pro-America. Pro-America? We're pro-America. You can say that. We're pro-America.
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah, we're going to say
we're
pro-America.
I'm just telling you.
We're pro-America.
Let's just say some...
As a show, we're pro-America.
Some
every 100%, we're a pro-America.
Let's just say some bumfuck country.
Okay, we're just going back. Okay.
Well, no. Let's just go Rwanda.
Rwanda.
What does Rwanda give a fuck about America? If there's a fucking Rwandan who hates America.
We're pro-America,
and
we're
heard,
100% pro-America.
Understand that. But let's say there's like a Rwandan.
I'm
or,
a dipshit. I'm just trying to say. We're pro-America as a show.
Sure. If there's somebody who's not in the Middle East who hates America and they're dancing in the street because America got attacked, that does not mean they were privy to the plan to attack America, necessarily. That's all I'm saying.
What we're saying right now is we're 100% pro-America and there's some anti-American shit going on and we're going to be pro-America right now. So let's go pro-America 100%. Let's go pro-America 100%.
I'm saying 100%, even if we go, you're going mega on me and I don't like it.
Yeah, we're going to burn. We're going to burn. But bitch, we're going to go pro-America.
It.
We're going to pro-America right now.
I'm against it. I don't like 100%.
We're against. We're
no,
against.
No, you're not
talking anti-America. We're pro-America. Where are we going at? Pro-America. Nate, where are we at? Pro-America.
I'm saying that you can be pro-America and
yeah,
you can also
yeah,
you can also have
yeah,
in your mind that people who hate America dancing in the street does not mean they perpetrated the attacks, does not mean they were looped in on the plan.
Okay.
Right? And this plays 100%
in. 100%
pro-America. Mike, I understand. Mike's all America.
All American.
And that's good. So I don't know how much more
we're
can talk about.
We're wrapping this up into America.
We're not.
We're wrapping
we're not
it up into
Mike's
the envelope of
wrapping
America
it up. because Mike is done talking about this. And
it's getting
a little frustrating, Mike.
No, I want you
to be honest.
I want
with
you to expand America. I want you to get expanded upon America.
I don't know what I'm going to say about America.
What
I'm
is better
trying
about America? We're
to
American.
Tell you.
We're American.
I'm trying to tell you that you can be pro-America and you can understand that people that hate America would dance in the street regardless of who did whatever to whatever, right? Pearl Harbor happened. I'm sure there are people in other countries dancing in the street. We don't have the social media accounts of that because the time was not right for the internet, right? That doesn't mean that they helped plan the Pearl Harbor attack, just like people dancing in the street, happy that America got injured, got hurt, got attacked, doesn't mean that they were privy to the plan, doesn't mean they helped aid in the plan. It means that they're pieces of shit. It means that they fucking hate America. It doesn't mean that they did it. Right?
Yes.
That's the whole point. Correlation and causation are two different things.
Not the same thing.
They can be happy we got hurt. Doesn't mean they did it. So
My dog is barking. Doesn't mean that she's talking.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
What I believe about 9/11 is that people knew in certain sectors of our government.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did nothing to stop it.
Yeah.
I don't believe it was holograms. I don't believe whatever. But I believe people knew and people did nothing to prevent it.
Yes.
And they used it as a catalyst to expand the war front, the enemies, the countries, to their own financial personal gain. Regardless, and this is what I said at the very top of the episode, regardless of what you believe about 9/11, American people died.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking tragedy.
And horrible.
We can be
horrible.
Upset about that. And the truth will eventually, hopefully, come out.
The truth will out, hopefully, my God. Guys, this is what I'm trying to put out there. This little snippet is going to go out on the internet. And now hear my dog. She's whining. She wants to hear. She wants to come back.
She wants to read the 9/11
official
commission
report. She wants to come back to the 9/11 log. She wants to come back to my life. She wants to come back to me and talk to me. Because my little girl, you know, my little dog, she wants to do the thing.
Well, you can't talk and walk away from the microphone.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, yes, you can. My dog.
If you want to be heard, you cannot.
My dog wants to come into the house. Oh, no.
Well, go get her, Mike, and then
come
back
we're
and
gonna
we'll
go
wrap
get her,
the episode.
But we're going to get... The world is not right. The world is not right.
Never said it was.
The world is not right.
Never said it was. We were only investigating
the 9/11.
Well, the conspiracy theories versus the official government report. And of course, the official government report is going to tell you whatever the government says you should believe. But there are...
From apart, Nate and I are going to take a little glass.
Yes.
Right here, we have fancy liquor. Fancy
Glenn
liquor.
Glenlivet 12 year
Glenlivet
age.
Glenlivet 12 age.
Yeah.
It's not too
delicious.
Bad. It's not too bad. It's delicious.
Yes.
We have to say that we have Glenlivet 12 here to give us our bit of reality check.
Yes.
But I can tell
you. You know who
gentlemen,
doesn't?
Gentlemen.
Okay.
It's strange. Very strange. Can we say it's strange?
Can we
at least say it's strange?
What is strange, Mike?
The world is strange. The life
that
is strange.
That is fair. That is
very
a fair assessment of the world and of the political environment and of everything.
What I can tell you is, gentlemen, we have to start talking to each other way more than now. Way more than now. This is bizarre. We're in bizarro land, hey. We're in bizarro land, hey. Nate is taking puffs off his cigar. He is having puffs on his cigar that I don't have.
Whose fault is that, Mike?
My fault.
I smoke too fast.
I lost the joy of the cigar.
That's true.
That thing is what we need to gather collectively.
The joy of the cigar.
The joy of the cigar. The joy of the thing. The joy of the thing.
Yeah, enjoy the thing.
We went to an event tonight.
We did.
The joy of the thing.
We enjoyed the thing.
The joy of the thing.
I enjoyed it more than that stuck up woman with her kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you did. The thing that Nate maybe will take more than anything is the power of my animal.
Sure. If your dog was on any of those flights...
My dog is a murder
the
machine.
The terrorists would not have stood a chance.
That's why I am against the terrorists.
Everyone's
my dog
against
can take down
the
terrorists. I know that my dog really wishes that I were to be not on this episode. She really wishes.
Well,
that
we both put out our cigars.
Paying attention to her.
So,
instead of paying attention to cigar.
Yes. So, two questions for you, Mike. What do you believe about 9/11? What's your theory?
What I believe about 9/11 is.
This is the first of two questions. What do you believe about 9/11?
There's things. 9/11 exists. There's things.
Okay.
There's deep, deep things.
Sure. Next question is. What are your final thoughts on the cigar?
Good cigar. Yes. The Hoya Red. Definitely, we're breaking away. Listeners, the right side of my reality is breaking open. It's like a burst of energy. We cannot handle even the amount of energy to the right side of my life.
I don't know
right
what that means. What does that mean in a 5-point scale for the cigar?
It's a... 3.5.
Oh, okay. 3.5.
The scale is crazy. It's breaking open. The world is breaking open right now.
Sure. You know what? I really enjoyed this cigar, and I wish that it would have been earlier in the day.
The side of my life is breaking open in an open wound right now.
You know what? I'm going to give it a 4.
An open wound. It's an open wound.
I like the cigar.
Hold on,
I'm going to give it a 4.
It's an open wound to my right side.
What about your left side?
My left side is strong. Doesn't happen yet.
Good. Take my strong hand.
You're an expert.
In what?
Mixology.
Sure.
What are you even talking about?
What are you talking about? I'm trying to...
Woof, woof. What are we even talking about? Woof, what are we even talking about?
Hopefully everybody liked the season finale. We'll catch you next year. It'll be the first Wednesday in March.
The death of America. The death of society.
I didn't bother looking it up. We'll catch you the first Wednesday.
The death of all living things. That's what
you're
we're
not
about.
Even talking into a microphone right now.
I know, but we're not talking about a microphone. My dog is dead.
Your dog is not dead. It's right there. Talking to your microphone. Tell everybody you love them and you'll see them next season.
Hello, everyone. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't need you. It's that we're on the brink of a societal change.
Just tell them we'll see them next season, Mike.
If you hear me next season, it's because of your choice. We're already on the end of our civilization. It's already dead. It's already over. If you're listening, it's already over. It's already over. You're going to protect yourself. No.
What if they're not listening?
If you're not listening,
isn't it already,
you're fucked.
Is it already over for them?
Right now, we're talking bare minimum. Right now, we're talking bare minimum. We're talking bare minimum. You're alive now. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
Good luck, and thanks
good
for
luck.
Listening.
Thank
we'll
you for
catch
listening.
You next
yeah.
season. March.
Good luck.
First Wednesday
good
in
luck.
March. Mike wishes you luck to the highest possible extent. Anyone could ever wish luck upon another person.
Yeah.
That is what Mike wishes
no,
for
I
you.
No, I hope you. I hope you good will. I hope you goodwill. I hope you goodwill.
Goodwill and peace on earth.
I live on Mike Land. I live Mike Landia.
Uh-huh.
I'm just doing work. I don't think that it's going to matter.
Do the
you're
work.
Fucking dead.
And
if
that
you're, if you're fucking listening to this, you're fucking dead.
Well, I think you're still alive, everybody. It's all okay. We went to a dark place. It was a dark episode topic to end the season. It was probably most likely an inside job. But regardless of what you believe about 9/11, a lot of Americans died. And it's a tragedy. And
you're
it was a PTSD.
Not alive. You don't know what's going on.
I don't know
over.
What's going on.
Bye.
The cigar is done.
Bye.
Mike
bye.
Is, Mike
bye.
Is out.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Mike is out. I'm out. Thanks for listening. We will catch you next season. Until March.